This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Volunteering Vibes. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Weston from Volunteering Hawke's Bay, your local community volunteering centre, connecting people and helping our community to thrive. Now, in these programmes, we'll be hearing from people all across the volunteering viewpoint. Now, about a quarter of Kiwis are involved in formal volunteering, putting in time and talent and energy to the tune of about $4 billion a year. They're all giving back to their community. And there are all sorts of reasons why people volunteer. And today's guest is Yvonne Larkin. Now, hi, Yvonne.
Hi, kia ora.
Thanks for coming in today and sharing your volunteering journey with us. So tell us a little bit about what your volunteering world looks like.
Oh, okay. So I'm, I guess, reasonably new to volunteering, but I kind of picked up that ball and ran with it pretty quickly and kind of threw it in all sorts of different directions. I'm involved in a number of different volunteering organisations and spaces. And so I guess, where do I start? I'm a volunteer board member for two organisations in Hawke's Bay. One is a very new charitable trust focusing on women's health in Hawke's Bay, and in particular the midlife health space, and it's called the Rose Gold Trust. And I'm the chair of that trust, so first time chair. We have a very tight team. There are four of us, and but we have a lot of supporters. And our clinical advisor is the incredible Dr. Samantha Newman, who has a clinic in Napier under the female GP brand. And you may know Samantha from her work in her tireless work in the media. Particularly when it comes to answering questions when there are issues with women's health, the HRT dramas that we've had in recent times with Pharmac and that kind of thing. And she is has been sort of integral in really raising the awareness of women's midlife health and the inequities that there are in this country, and in Hawke's Bay particularly, and how we can go about fixing that and educating not just women and our friends in whānau, but also our people in our health space, health workers and that kind of thing, to really bring everyone kind of up to speed about what's out there, the opportunities and the treatments and that kind of thing that are available for women going through a pretty crazy time. So the Rose Gold Trust is, we're active on social media, and we're always looking for people to help us with events and fundraising and sponsorship and that kind of thing. So there's that. I'm also a member of the Hawke's Bay Emergency Response Team, which is part of the wider Civil Defence Network, and that's really fun. That's something that I've always kind of thought for years that I should probably become more civic minded, and after Cyclone Gabrielle, here in Hawke's Bay, which was devastating. I don't need to tell you. You know all about that. That kind of cemented, I really need to get out there and do something. Use whatever skills I have to help if anything like that were to ever happen again. And so I was. I can't even remember how I found out about. For the first time in a long time, they decided to do a recruitment. This is back in 2023, sort of halfway through the year. After the cyclone, and I sort of went cooey and I put my hand up, and a couple of months ticked by, and then all of a sudden it was like, right, we're going to have a recruitment weekend for, those of you that we've selected to, come and be put through your paces in front of our team and see if you're up to it. So I went along with a couple of other people from, you know, different walks of life in Hawke's Bay, and we had an amazing weekend, actually, of being of all sorts of physical and mental challenges and team sort of bonding and building exercises, and then waited to find out whether we'd cut it. And myself and a colleague were brought in. So it was whittled down to two of us, because it's a very tight team, and everyone has to be 100%, focused on, well, not focused, 100% reliant on you and your commitment and your skills and that kind of thing. So it was whittled down to two of us, and then you've got a kind of a 3-month, probation period to sort of prove yourself with. Your training and your commitment. So we train for 2 to 3 hours every Tuesday evening here in Hastings at what we call the GECC, which is the Civil Defence Centre. And then usually one weekend out of every month there'll be a weekend long training. Sometimes you might go for a couple of months without one. Just depends. Sometimes the calendar changes, but you kind of need to prepare yourself for a weekend of intense. It could be radio comms training, or it could be deep water rescue or four-wheel drive training, or techniques for using, lowering or raising stretches from buildings or ladders or what have you, or rubble rescues and like really practical, full on stuff.
The things that the everyday person just doesn't think about.
That you just don't think about, until it comes time for things to really affect you. You know, how to respond if we need to go through and check houses or neighbourhoods for, injured or missing people or pets, that kind of stuff. Right. A lot of work with the welfare team. So that's been really, really interesting. So me, I'm 51, right? I'm a mother of two. I'm losing, bone density and muscle mass daily, right? So for me to kind of throw myself into some, a lot of this quite physical stuff and mentally challenging stuff, like, it's really fantastic.
Well, you're tackling it from both sides, aren't you? Rose gold and silver.
So I'm learning all these amazing things. I'm learning a lot in the health sphere. I'm learning a lot in the kind of emergency
knowledge
response.
Knowledge is power, eh?
So that's been amazing, actually, really interesting. And we're on a recruitment drive. We want to find another few key team members for the emergency response team. So I know you've put on your website about our open evening, which is Tuesday the 1st, so that's next week. I don't know when this podcast is actually going to go to air, but hopefully it'll be before then. And it would be, anyone listening that is interested in joining. We want people from all different walks of life and cultures people that can bring different skills to our group. There's commitment involved, but it's great commitment and you learn so much. It's really, really fun. So that's the second
thing.
That's
the second one, number two.
Number three, I've recently become a board member for Eastern... what do we call it? The Eastern Screen Alliance, which is essentially the film office for Hawke's Bay.
Right.
So we're actually in the process of rebranding to Screen Hawke's Bay, which kind of fits with what the other regional film offices are branded as around New Zealand. And so our whole focus, and again, there's a very tight sort of core of people within this group that are absolutely 100% focused on bringing film production or screen production, television. It could be television, it could be gaming, it could be film, it could be anything involving the screen industry, bringing them to Hawke's Bay and helping Hawke's Bay screen industry professionals create and create projects and find work. And because, we've got an amazing group of people that live in Hawke's Bay that are involved in either the technical side of screen or the artistic side of screen, or and they live here, but they commute, they travel around the country to work on different projects. But we would love for them to actually work here.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and Hawke's Bay has everything. You know, it's incredible what Hawke's Bay has. I mean, you know, think about it. We've got beautiful oceanscapes. So scenery-wise, we've got these beautiful oceanscapes, and within minutes you can be on a river or on a farm or in a forest, in a city or in a village, or in, you know, the ability to film here is so much easier, particularly when it comes to clean airspace. You know, you can use drones and choppers and everything. You don't have a cluttered airspace like, say, if you were going to film in Auckland or Wellington or Queenstown or that sort of thing. So in terms of, you know, gaining permission for things like that, it's a lot easier. Because you're not disrupting all this other stuff. So that's great. We've got amazing homesteads and historic sites and great acting talent and technical talent here too. And we've got great accommodation for, you know, you could bring in a Hollywood heavyweight. I mean, Brad Pitt, he's living in Queenstown at the moment shooting. But, you know, we could have him here at Kidnappers or one of the Black Barn Lodges or something. You know, we had Benedict Cumberbatch was during COVID at Kidnappers. Loved it. So there's all these and of course, there's loads of accommodation if you want to bring crew in. We've got amazing catering, you know, feed everyone. We've got logistics, transport, you know, all that stuff here in Hawke's Bay, and it's so easy to get around.
Why wouldn't you?
So it's really, we're really kind of, I mean, the film office in Hawke's Bay has been around for quite a while, but it's gone through a few changes, and the industry kind of ebbs and flows, but now we've got a really good core of people that have great experience in the industry, and it was an industry that I was kind of in years back before I moved into the wine side of things, which is kind of my core business. So I'm loving getting back into really fostering a creative energy and creative business in Hawke's Bay. And we're really lucky that, that we've got wonderful advocates, you know, for us on in the council and in our creative organisations in Hawke's Bay and local businesses. You know, we're really fortunate that we have a ton of local business folk that really want to see the screen industry move ahead, and they want to help us, and that's great. You know, they've got resources that we can use and support and networks, and so that's cool. Yeah. So that's kind of number three. And on a much smaller scale, I'm a St. John Therapy Pets volunteer as well. So because I have two dogs. I have two dogs, and one of my dogs, Toby, is a foxy collie cross. Should have been on a farm, you know, classic sort of sheepdoggy kind of thing. And he's so funny, and he's so cute, and he's so lovely. And we saw this note come out, I don't know, on some email newsletter saying, "Oh, St. John need more therapy pets volunteers for Hawke's Bay." And this is where you take your pet to. Could be, you know, rest homes or schools, kindies, kohangas, hospice, you know, anywhere where people just love having a bit of contact with animals. So I thought I could do that. And, you know, went kiwi, put my hand up and applied, and then I got the call from St. John saying, you know, we'll pop in with your pet, and you have to go through a bit of a process.
I bet you do.
Yeah, you do. So we had the lovely Alistair Neves, the dog man, who's the dog whisperer extraordinaire, came into the St. John Hatohone headquarters over on Southern Road, Linden, I forget, in middle of Hastings, and just to kind of see whether our dogs were up to the task and whether they were obedient enough. And, you know, I don't know how it happened, but we ended up getting, you know, accepted.
Beautiful.
And so it's quite lovely usually every Tuesday when I can, like, because it's volunteer-based, so some weeks when I'm travelling I can't do it. But usually every Tuesday I'm assigned to Cranford Hospice in Hastings, And, you know, I call them and I say, hey, look, you know, is there any of your patients up for a, you know, a bit of a pat, you know, a bit of a visit? Some weeks, yes. Other weeks, no. And, but, yeah, it is so fun, you know, going in there and just, yeah, my dog, he's a real flirt. He loves a pat. He's a huge flirt. And, yeah, he behaves. And although Cranford Hospice's cat would say otherwise.
Does not like it. Oh, dear, stereotypical there.
So I do four volunteer.
And I have
roles.
To admit that you and I connected when you were in your car on your way to Cranford, I think, with said dog. To the therapy session.
Mm.
And that was a really interesting conversation. So thank you for answering the phone.
That's all right. I wasn't driving. I was parked.
I should have explained that. A couple of things struck me amongst the fact that two of the roles are in governance, so chair and on a board. Mm. And working as we do for Volunteering Hawke's Bay, one of the things that can be a challenge for organisations is to get people on board, on their boards, and to take up governance roles. So I'm interested to hear from you. What was it that pushed you in that direction or made you look at that?
Well, to be fair, I didn't actually seek out to be in a governance role. First and foremost, I wanted to be involved just because I really admired the organisations, and I thought that their work was really worthwhile and something that I could that I'd really like to be able to put my energies into. And I kind of, when I found out that yes, it's there is a board structure within both of the organisations, with RGT and with Screen Hawke's Bay, I was very much like, right, we're gonna learn this, and you know, I want to surround myself with people that have been in these positions before and know what they're up against, and also to try and educate myself and how things work. So, and that's a constant thing for me. So yep. I'm always looking out for every opportunity to learn more about good governance and how processes work and how you can actually make it less scary for people, because it's not scary. I think
that's good to hear.
It's not scary. It just takes a bit of, I guess it just takes a little bit of time and willingness to put your energy behind a process. There are times where it's like, right, well, we can't have our meeting because we don't have a quorum. And some people are, what's a quorum? Oh, well, if you Google, you know, board meetings, you'll see that you need, or in our constitution or in our whatever, it says we need a minimum of five people and whatever. That's just an example. But
yes.
So you learn a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But so for me, I'm very much wanting to, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the learning process about how governance works within charitable organisations and with volunteer organisations. And I'd love to, you know, I'm going to save some cash and do, you know, get involved in the what is it, the Directors Organisation of New Zealand, and so I can do their courses and really upskill all the time, because I kind of think you've got a long life ahead. You know, there's a lot of years ahead, and there are lots of things that I'd like to be able to put my energies towards, but I want to be better at the processes behind the scenes.
That's awesome.
So, you know.
There's real motivations I'm hearing there. So there's the passion for what it is you're being involved in, and the willingness to be open to new things and to take on new skills.
Yeah, well, I just kind of think, you know, I'm getting a bit older, and there are only certain things that physically I might be able to do, you know. But mentally, I want to be able to keep learning my whole life. And, you know, I think if you know a little bit about good governance, it can really help with that. You know, it can help bring you into different organisations, and it can help. I'd like to be able to explain to other people that want to be volunteers in organisations that have a governance structure, you know, what's involved, you know, in plain English.
Yeah.
So that they can go, oh, well, she can do it. Mm. She's done it, so maybe I can. You know, she's she's not exactly Einstein.
We'll just label that under role modelling, shall we? We'll just leave it there. So yeah. Do you think your life experience helps? Do you feel like
I do.
The journey that you've been on so far has brought you to this point and you can look back at the person that you are and what you've achieved and what you have to share? Do you feel like that plays a part for you?
Well, I think so. I think about it. Well, I've been self-employed since I was 22. I've lived in lots of different places. I've had two kids. I'm mother of two, wife of one. I love Hawke's Bay. I'm a proud Hawke's Baylian. I was born in Waipukoro in the old maternity hospital there. I went to primary school in Takapo. I did my intermediate years at Hastings Intermediate, Hastings Girls High. Then I left here as soon as I could when I was 17 because, Hastings in the early 90s wasn't exactly a great place. Well, I was following on from the freezing works closures and all that kind of stuff. So I know what it's like to be a young person in a reasonably depressed environment. Economically and socially, that kind of thing. Went away for a while, carved out, went to uni. I only went for a year and a bit because I found a boyfriend and he wanted to move, and so I followed him, and it was all kind of fun. And then landed into the music industry, which led to the broadcasting industry, which led to sort of advertising and marketing and screen and all that sort of stuff. And wine was sort of my background, and then when I was made redundant from TVNZ, and I did not know what I was going to do in Auckland, I moved back to Hawke's Bay and thought maybe I can turn wine into a career, and that was at the end of the 90s when we'd had a couple of amazing vintages and started to retrain, enrolled in an amazing organisation that and did a wine marketing qualification, and that led to led to writing about wine and doing all the different things to then becoming a wine business owner. I'm the co-founder and chief tasting officer of winefriend.co.nz, which is a totally unique business that is it's a personalised subscription-based wine business, and we have software that we built from scratch. We're the only people in the world doing exactly what we do, personalising wine, and it's kind of... So I've got this motherhood, marriagehood, crazy education, self-employment, business foundation, artistic side of things. I did competitive karate for a long time when I was in Auckland, so physically I'm very focused on trying to keep strong and stay fit, not necessarily punch people up, but, it's important for me as a woman to feel safe in my environment and with my health and that kind of thing. I've had a few health scares as well, so I know what it's like to go through, traumatic, confusing times. And luckily I've come out the other side, touch wood. So I think life experience, like you said, is really important when you put yourself out there for a volunteer, in a volunteer situation, because you just never know when those skills or that experience or that empathy or that that understanding is going to need to come into play. Mm. And I think, for some people, they think, I didn't go to uni, or I've only ever had one job, or I didn't have kids, or I've never been in business for myself, or they come up with all these roadblocks as to why they shouldn't take that step into volunteering. I'm not good enough, I haven't done enough, I haven't, but you actually, when you think about it, you've done enough just by being alive, and being a thoughtful, considerate, empathetic person. And so here's another thing. This might not be a typical volunteering experience, but it's something that's given me a lot of fulfillment. and it was something that leaped out of nowhere, was there's an app that you can hook into I forget the name of it, but we can tag it once I've got it, where you can join up if you have good eyesight, mm-hmm. right, and good spoken word, you know, it doesn't matter what language, but mine is predominantly English, that at any time, day or night, if there's a blind person who needs to know, they might be in a supermarket trying to choose something and there's no braille, or they might be expecting company and they're trying to know whether their table has been set properly or that their bed has been made properly, mm. or have they hung their washing out correctly, or, you know, they're trying to count the right change or something, you know, is this, they can press a button on that app and the signal will go out and anyone gets the opportunity to answer that call, and their camera on their phone shows you their situation and they get to speak to you wherever they are in the world and say, can you just, I'm putting my phone around my yep. room, I can't see it, can you tell me, is my duvet straight? You know, where's my tea towel? I'm trying to cook something in my kitchen, I've lost my tea towel, can you see it?
We're all capable of that.
Yeah, and I go, yeah, mate, it's hanging on your fridge door yep. or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm done, cool, finished. And you've helped someone just by having eyes that work.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ability to talk across somewhere on the other side of the world.
That's inspirational, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's the I have had great conversations with amazing people just because I've helped them, you know, tell them whether the expiry date on the milk in their fridge.
Just like the great conversation we're having today. So I'm just conscious of our time today. Thank you so much, Yvonne.
That's all right.
Really, honestly, I could just go on and on and on forever. But thank you so much for making the time to come in and see us today. If
thank
people
you.
Are interested in knowing a bit more about the organisations that you support, where can they go?
Well, they can go to the Facebook page of Rose Gold Trust. That's really easy. Just type in Rose Gold Trust. All of our information is there. The Hawke's Bay Emergency Response Team, if you just go to HBERT on Facebook, or Civil Defence, it's really easy to find us. You can go to easternscreenalliance.com. We will be changing that eventually, but it'll migrate through. St John Therapy Pets, just Google that, get involved. That's really cool. Otherwise, if you're really stuck and you just want to reach out and learn a bit more, you know, I'm really easy to get hold of. You can just, you know, email me at yvonne@yvonnelorcan.com.
That's very good of you. Thanks, Yvonne.
It's all right. Thank you. This has been fun.
We wish you every success in all of the ventures that you're in contact with at the moment and the ones ahead of you, I'm sure. And thank you for encouraging people to get involved on all different levels. And I hope that people will take that up. So remember that Volunteering Hawke's Bay offers workshops and trainings and network opportunities for all of the organisations that are part of our network. And this is all free of charge. If you'd like to find out more about the work of the organisations that we support, hop on our website, vhb.org.nz, and make this community an even more awesome place to be. Now, speaking of awesome, our thanks to Radio Hawke's Bay, who make this show possible. You can listen to us or the many other programs that they have on offer at radiohawkesbay.org.nz.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.